At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, Fabi, what are we doing? What are we doing here? This is the first and maybe the last in the chess world, chess YouTube world. We're playing Super Smash Bros. While we're doing a podcast. Have we ever done this before?
Are we discussing things? We're actually going to discuss things?
We have to discuss things.
Okay.
That's kind of the whole point. So we're going to have to focus on Super Smash and at the same time discuss very important things that happen in the chess world.
Which is not nothing has happened.
There's been a few things. All right, first, let's get into the game, and then we'll start a conversation. But please remind me exactly how to play this game, because I don't remember.
At the moment, your CPU. Okay. Let's try to activate your controller.
Okay, let's see. Wait.
You joined. Something. Okay, great.
Now
you.
Okay, that's me. Yeah,
that's you.
So blue is me.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go with my college character. And that is Pit. I'm trying to find it.
Okay, I'll go random.
Where's Pit? There it is, Pit.
We haven't unlocked all the characters. I haven't played this game much. All right. Last time I played was, I think, with you.
I don't think I've played against you. I played against Misha.
Misha's very competitive. We're also on a random stage, I think.
Okay. All right. So now the podcast officially starts. What should we first talk about? How about we talk about the big match that just happened and that finished in the victory of Dubov.
It's actually difficult to discuss things like this.
Dubov defeated Hans in a very close match, 9.5 to 8.5. It looked like it could be a wash after the first day, but big comeback by Hans, and it only ended up in the last round. To be honest, could have been anybody's match. What's your first take on that?
I think that Hans, actually, it's much harder when you talk. I just realized. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think that Hans kept it pretty close.
Yes. Okay. No. Oh my goodness.
I mean, so what I felt, I think I even said this during the Title Tuesday, is that it felt like Dubov was in control very much on the first day and for most of the second day, and then I think he got a bit careless.
Uh-huh. Get out of here. Yep. Do you remember exact games?
Well, I mean, I remember the last game very clearly. I remember a few Italian games, which overall it felt like Hans was always getting the advantage in the opening, or almost always with the white pieces.
Uh-huh.
This is so rough.
What do you mean? No.
Oh, what? No.
Okay, finally. Finally. Okay.
So he was usually getting the advantage in the opening. And it felt like he was also countered. He was also playing faster usually at the start.
No! Come on!
What are you doing?
I'm trying to fly! Oh no.
Like, I felt that he's more or less, I don't know if he had a better feeling in the early start of the game, in the middle game, but he was usually getting the better of it and usually playing faster too.
Have they done the lie detector test?
No. That will probably come at a later date. I know they haven't done it yet.
What do you think the question is going to be?
Oh.
We sort of discussed that.
I mean, but it's probably something.
Now, one thing about Dubov is almost for sure right now, and I think we sort of discussed this, he believes that Hans is legit, right?
I mean, he I'm sure believes that Hans is quite a strong player. I'm not sure what the match was overall for him to understand Hans as a player, or because he really didn't trust him in general.
What?
But okay, you're gone.
God.
But
that was good for us, yeah. Okay.
He anyway, it was a close match. He must feel in general that Hans is quite strong. He still did win the match, of course, so that does count for something. And he probably got a bit careless near the end. I had to press A twice. Mm-hmm. He probably got a bit careless near the end. Maybe could have made it less close. I mean, it came down to the final game. And really to like the final seconds. And I have to beat this computer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Hans proved that he's one of the best Blitz players in the world, given that Dubov is obviously an extremely good player as well. And it was very competitive. So,
yeah, Dubov is definitely one of the best Blitz in the world. By result, it's impossible to deny that. I mean, basically three strong World Blitz Championships in a row, including one, I think it's three strong ones in a row, yeah?
Yes, I mean, he should have qualified in top eight in the last one in New York.
Okay, he got screwed on tiebreaks because
he fell asleep.
I guess he missed the game. But besides that, he tied for first by score. And then the year before, he, I think, believe got the silver medal, mm-hmm. despite forfeiting the game again. And in general, okay, he's like 2795 or so, 2800 in Blitz.
He's very good.
I would say Hans by results is probably top 15 in Blitz. Not a huge.
Do you feel Blitz is Hans's best time control, best format?
I'm not sure. I think
he believes that it's his best format.
Maybe. Like for me, I think classical. He's showing consistent results, and rapid is probably his weakest. And Blitz, he does quite well, but it's very limited data. So it's hard to say based on a few tournaments. But his by rating, I guess, his Blitz should be his highest now.
Yeah, so that happened.
Okay, I'm going to actually play something I know a little bit about this time.
Okay.
That's not going to be close.
All right, give me just 1 second. Let me think. So, again, this is a game that I used to play when I was in college. That was 10 years ago. And since then, the only time I played was here with Misha. That was it. So I don't remember a lot of things. You, on the other hand, play this like 8 hours a day.
No, I don't.
People think that you actually
train. I have not played this since the last time you played. Also with Misha.
People think that you train chess, that you go all prep.
I prefer playing other games. Also, I'm here on my own. I'm playing solo games.
Okay, I'm playing the guy with the big sword. All right. Didn't you play this guy? Nice. Okay, I like this guy. No. Oh, that was you? Wait, how did you get that? What? Ah, you're doing the egg thing. Okay.
No, I'm not doing any egg thing.
So how are you actually?
Some moves I think have priority.
Okay, get out of here. Yeah. All right. So back to chess. Good competitive match. Looking forward to see what the question will
be. So, like, one thing that I really did notice is that in general, when it came down to seconds, Dubov was usually much stronger. Mm.
One thing about Dubov, he seems to have very strong nerves.
I mean, I think that he's a very good time travel player.
I never felt like
he was nervous. And he's saving a lot of points, especially in endgames. Oh, what? I ran into that?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. No. No. That's actually your most annoying move. When I'm coming down. Boom!
I like the sound effects. Wait, okay, we have to talk about something.
Yes. All right, so overall, good match.
Oh, wait, this is not as...
Hans is probably back in the States. And not without controversy. He's been obviously...
But we don't actually know that he's back in the States. We don't know where he is, right?
Do we? No, it's an assumption. We guess. We guess that he's not going to stay unnecessary time in Russia. But he's back... Or maybe not.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay, but the discussion that he was mentioning, and he was the controversy that I'm talking about is obviously him talking about not getting invites to the St. Louis Chess Club, to the competitions at the St. Louis Chess Club, specifically the American Cup, which is about to start, and the Champion Showdown. Now, obviously, we've discussed this before, and not a lot of things have changed since. What's your take on it?
Well, I don't, of course, know exactly what has happened between him and the St. Louis Chess Club besides what he made publicly known. But... obviously, there was a conflict with them, which he explained himself, which had to do with the hotel room. And so I don't know if there's a blacklist. I don't really think so, to be honest. I don't think that that's the case. But they're choosing not to invite him to their big invitationals. That much is clear. No!
1-1. 1-1, baby.
That much is clear, but there's not really much to say about it. I mean, that's between him and the chess club, right?
It does seem to be, but he does seem to imply that players are blacklisting him as well.
Players? I don't know.
Players are putting pressure on organizers not to invite him. Are you one of those players?
No, definitely not.
Okay, good. So we got that out of the way. I don't think we should speculate on anybody else. But
yeah, I don't know.
You're not one of them.
No,
you're
not part of them. Obviously, obviously not.
Mafia.
The thing is, I don't even think that organizers would take any. They wouldn't listen to players. Like, that's not really how things work. Even in things where
I think you would be surprised about that.
I mean, any input I give, not with something controversial, but it's like I think this format might not be the best. This form. Always falls on deaf ears. So I don't think that they would listen to people who are trying to actually change. Like, you know, they get very... in general, organizers, they, you know, want control of their tournament. They're not going to want people trying to influence. I would be surprised by that in general.
Yeah, and of his recent posts, he basically said that this is why India and Uzbekistan, I think those were the two examples he gave, are bringing new talents into the chess world and basically taking over, supposedly, the chess world. And that's why the US chess is collapsing, which I think it's an absolute exaggeration, fabrication. I would even argue to the fact that in the last 10 years, the last decade, maybe US chess has had probably the most successful decade in a very, very long time.
Yeah, US chess is doing good.
Well, so okay. I'm not really sure.
A lot of the top players aren't very young.
I understand that.
That's fair. We do have a lot of young and good players.
But that's just change of generations, right?
We're also 350 million people, and India is 1.5 billion people. I don't really think you can expect that we're going to produce as many strong chess players as...
don't concentrate. Keep talking.
Oh my god, this is...
No, I completely agree. But it's not also about that. In the US, we're very much dependent on private organizers. And to be honest, how do I... I don't know how to save myself with this guy.
Okay, I just have to get you off the edge.
So in India and Uzbekistan, it's very much a state effort. It's governmental. In the US, that's non-existent. You're not going to get called to the White House for winning the world championship in chess.
Yeah, we also don't. We have other sports that are bigger, while chess is
way bigger.
I don't know if it's the biggest sport in India, but
It gets government support at every level.
Wait, what did I do? Yeah, I mean the amount of support in India you can't compare to the US. I mean, US has sports that they care about more and which have much more money: basketball, baseball, American football. And yeah, chess is mostly funded by private organizers or sponsored by private organizers. So, not a good example. And Uzbekistan, although they're doing a good job, they're still not as strong as the United States. Don't have as many 2,700 plus players. Not even close. I mean, Hans should also consider that for all his criticism of the chess team in the US, he currently, by rating, doesn't make the United States national team. If everyone plays.
If everyone plays, yes.
So, you know, you could start to criticize when you actually have a high enough rating to be number 5 in the US.
Another blind spot that I feel he has is the fact that most talent in the US, whenever it reaches a certain level, it prioritizes school way more than anywhere else.
Oh, what?
Like, for example, most grandmasters, at some point, they have a big decision to make, and that is, are they going to go to university, and usually to Ivy League university, or basically do what Hans did and go professional? And most of them, I can give you N examples in the last decade, they usually go for the Ivy Leagues.
Yeah.
Out of chess. Like, once you go to Ivy League, it's going to be very difficult to make top 10 in the world.
Yeah, and also they make very, very good career in other areas.
That's the
which
thing.
You can't compare it to many other countries where chess is going to be just like so head and shoulders above other careers if you're really successful. While in the US, I mean, maybe I should concentrate. Can't lose to a computer.
Yeah, economically, it's just going to make much more sense to do a lot of other things than to play chess, at least up to the last 10 years. Up to the last 10 years, maybe 15, since the St. Louis Chess Club started supporting chess. Before that, I would say in the US, it would have been close to impossible to make a living out of just playing chess.
Ah. Am I going to lose against the computer?
Please don't.
Okay, I can still kill this.
And right now, things are changing. Like, you can see it with Karis Saib. She, in fact, is a great example because she goes to Stanford. Oh, no, you lost against the computer. And right now, she is coming to St. Louis. She's staying gap year or like gap semester.
Yeah.
To pursue that $100,000 Cairns prize, which is a huge incentive for girls.
No, I mean, look, there's definitely a discussion about... you know, in general, should people be changing federations? But who do I want to take? But a lot of countries do it. It's not just the U.S. I don't know why the U.S. is singled out. Look at the Spanish national team. Like, look at the best players in Spain at the moment, highest rated. It's like Chigaev, Yufa, Iturrizaga, Pichot. Okay, I mean, they do have Anton, who's from Spain. And it's hard to think of all these names. But like, half their team is not from Spain.
Yep.
Which is fine. I mean, I don't really see the issue with it. But it's definitely not only the US.
I mean, players will just search for the best conditions in general, given that, you know, again, playing chess as a career is already like a very difficult thing. And
what?
Okay, there you go. Playing chess as a career in a country that doesn't support you is even more difficult. Like Iturrizaga, for example, Pichot, they were all having difficulties with their own federations, like Venezuela, Argentina, or I think that's where they're from, right?
Iturrizaga's from Venezuela, Pichot from Argentina.
Yeah. So,
but I mean,
also, I mean, I feel the example that Hans is giving, it's very personal. There we go. Finally, I saved myself. Like, it's a very personal lens. What? Stop doing that.
What? I thought I shielded.
Yeah,
I think, again, it is... It's not really a fair comparison he's making, and he wouldn't make it if he was getting all the invitations that he wants.
But why did he say... Why did he say if we would be not...
No!
Come on. Not spending $200,000. That's nasty.
I got you. I don't know if you could escape from that.
And it's... And instead, use that to support youth. Like, I don't know why he gave that specific amount. But again, given that this is the effort of the St. Louis Chess Club mostly.
I mean, yeah, the St. Louis Chess Club does... Oh, what did I do?
Yeah.
St. Louis Chess Club does a lot for US chess. If you're expecting like government support, you're not going to get it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
What? No!
That was close. Wouldn't you say so?
So anyway, I didn't really understand his point so much.
Yeah,
when it came to this thing about, okay, all the players are, I've heard it before, all the top players are from other places. I mean, I'm from the US, but again, if they want to change the entire ecosystem in the chess world, just stop federation transfers. But it really does affect a lot of federations. It's not just the US. And if he's picking the example of India, and I think the population difference is, you just can't compare it. And still, the US did get silver in the last Olympiad. It wasn't like a clean silver, but silver medal is a...
Come on, we've been doing great. 2016 gold medal.
Okay, it was a long time ago, but yeah.
4 out of 5 American players, American board players. You, Hikaru, Robson, Shanklin. Wesley was the only one that moved here from the Philippines.
Yeah, but again, I mean, Wesley has been here for since like 20... which year was it that he...
It was like 2014, let's say. 2014 at that point.
I think he left university at 2014. Yeah. I mean, I think he was living in the US since like 2010, maybe. Like that. So he's been rooted in the US for a long time. Is he saying that nobody should be able to immigrate? I mean, yeah, I don't really see the issue. But in terms of Olympiads, we got Yes, in 2016, we got the gold medal and two silvers in 2018.
2018.
There was an Olympiad in 2020. 2022, we did crash and burn. 2018, we tied for first. We were very close to another gold. I mean, China got it on tiebreaks.
Yeah.
2022 was a disaster for most of our team, was playing really badly. I was playing probably the worst. And then last time, it wasn't clean, but we did get silver. I don't think the track record is terrible. I mean, India is tough.
In the last decade, I would say the US has probably the best track record.
Yeah, sure. India now is tough to compete with them. I mean, they have just so many strong grandmasters. So many grandmasters in general. So many players are over 2,700, and they're all young, which means that they're going to be there for a long time. Now, if he's saying that in 10 years, you know, all the people in their 30s are going to be too old to play, okay, fair enough. Maybe you're right. But still, then there will probably be other young players. At least that's a hope. There are other young players who he doesn't really give much credit to, like Andy Woodward, Mishra. I don't know. Maybe they won't be professional chess players. I don't know their plans, but still they're very promising for the moment.
I think you mentioned Mishra. And Mishra, sure, maybe he didn't have government support, like, and he's been talking about this on our podcast as well. That's very difficult to come by in the US. But before the St. Louis Chess Club, you didn't have the seasonal events, the seasonal classics. That's four tournaments against 2,600 players. You didn't have the normal events.
I played in Italy, and the Italian Federation did give me support.
Yeah, that was a...
When I came back to the United States?
Yeah.
I was already a 2,800 player. So.
Right. I mean, you're a very bad example to whatever point he was trying to make.
I mean, he's saying that, okay, I left when I was a weak player, and I came back when I was a top player, which
what was enough. Your rating when you left?
When I left, I believe it was 2196, but probably going over 20. Like, I was probably... The rating lists were, I think, every 3 months back then.
That's when you switched federations?
To Italy. I was probably live, let's say, like mid-2200s. That was at the end of 2004. So, or maybe beginning of 2005. Why would you pick this tiny pink? You're going to get destroyed.
No.
I'm some kind of demon cat, and you're a tiny balloon. I don't even know the controls of this character. Okay.
Me neither.
And
why am I falling asleep? What?
You're asleep and you're almost dead.
What?
Now you're floating. Now you're dead. This is what I get. This is what Misha always picks. This tiny pink... What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm trying to do something, but...
He has
no range. This guy has no range.
My esports team, I think, only has like one Smash player. And his tag is Hungrybox. And he's like arguably the best Smash player in history. Or like top three or something.
Uh-huh.
And he only plays this...
Jigglypuff.
Yeah, but he doesn't play this version of the game. He plays a version of the game that came out in the early 2000s.
Okay, this guy does absolutely nothing.
I'm not really in love with my character either.
Okay, Jigglypuff is out. I'm not playing Jigglypuff ever again. She has no range, that's the problem.
Is it a she?
I mean...
It's a Pokemon, right?
I don't know, I have no idea.
Oh, wow, yes. That killed me?
Yes. Okay, where were we? Oh yeah, Mishra. So Mishra, I would say, sure, he probably did not have governmental financial support, but he did play a lot of local events. And I think you were mentioning your own example. And that's probably a good place to start because not a lot of people actually know. Even I didn't know that you left when you were like only 2,200. I had the impression that you were 2,500 GM when you left.
No, not at all.
But
God, I actually don't like my character at all. It's so bad. It's so slow.
Yeah.
And you can just like keep me away and I can't.
Yeah. I'm starting to
And that's my GP. LP.
No! Come on! Not like that. Not like that. Oh my goodness. I was just starting to like Jigglypuff. So yeah, what was your trajectory?
Yeah, so I left early 2005. I started playing for Italy. And that's when I left school as well. Okay, got to use this piece of shit character. That's when I started studying chess priests seriously.
Mm-hmm. Who won?
I won.
You won?
I won. I don't know what happened.
I was pretty sure he lost. Okay, no, I might get this guy.
I got very lucky. Yeah, so then I started to work on chess more seriously and left school, and then I improved. So I became IM in 2005.
Were you doing school in Italy?
No,
did you go to school at all?
I didn't live in Italy.
Ah, where were you living? Spain?
In Spain.
Did you go to school in Spain?
No, I didn't. And then we moved, and I became GM in 2007. I think I became IM in 2006. But yeah, in 2005, I improved a lot. I think I got to close to 2,500 that year. So from it was a 200-point jump or something like that.
Hmm. And then you were hanging around there. You were playing, I remember you were playing a lot of European championships.
Yeah, I played 2008. Plovdiv. Yeah, I played 2008.
That's the one I remember. You beat Lupulescu.
I lost to Lupulescu.
You lost to Lupulescu?
In the last round. But it wasn't a bad performance. I mean, he was definitely much better than me then. 2008, I think I was probably low 2600s. But I was very inexperienced, and he was...
You did beat a Romanian, though. Was it Nisipanu?
No, I did beat Nisip. No, not Sabo. Just keep naming. I did beat...
Giano.
Yeah, I did beat Vlad Giano. Giano, yeah.
Okay.
I think I beat him, at least.
In Plovdiv.
Yeah, I think it was 2008 Plovdiv. I did play Nisi a number of times, and I even worked with him. But okay, he was much stronger than me in 2008. Definitely didn't beat him then. I think I beat him in 2011. I mean... My heart breaks for you.
No, it doesn't. No. Okay.
Oh, I have the KO punch. Oh, my KO punch is gone. I don't even know what.
I will KO punch.
No, what?
Yes, yes, yes.
What is that recovery?
Yes. Excellent.
Okay, I'm going to come back from it.
No!
Okay. Now we know what we're doing. We're just doing this.
You cannot do just that. There you go. There you go. Boom. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm alive. And I have the KO punch.
No!
I have the KO punch.
What?
I don't know what it means.
How do I eliminate it? No.
I told
Are
you
I
have the KO
me?
Punch. I told you I
have. Are you kidding me? What is the KO punch? Okay, this is terrible. This is terrible. We need a rematch on this. Let's do a rematch with these guys. I can't believe you. KO punch me. Okay, let's do the same thing.
You want me to pick the same character?
Yes.
But now I know what to do with it.
It's okay. I'll play exactly the same. Mart. Big Mart. So you moved back in 20, when was it?
2015.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you learn chess in the US. You are extremely competitive and you basically built your foundation in the New York clubs, trained by New York coaches. It's very difficult to consider you a non-American player.
No, I mean, definitely I'm American. I don't, again, it depends what.
But that's basically what he says, right? Which is kind of ridiculous. On the flip side, I do hope that we're going to see him play at the club. Like,
no, but I like.
I have the KO punch. This...
I have the KO punch. You're panicking.
I don't like.
You're panicking.
You still have the KO punch?
I still have it.
Okay, for how long do you have that?
Until I think you like knock it out of me. Oh, I don't have it anymore.
There we go. But how do you get that KO punch?
I think it charges up. You can see like the bar at the bottom. I think the more damage I take, it charges up. And then eventually, but I have to like use it before I get hit. We have to impress people. We're not going to impress anyone with our gameplay.
Yeah, we will. No,
that will impress people.
Zing. That's so bad. Okay, this guy is not good.
My nephew actually got pretty good at this. Like, I got it for him at some point, and then
you got the KO punch again?
It's a KO punch.
Oh my goodness.
I come back like a year later. And suddenly my nephew's very good. I'm just killing him.
All right. So enough of Hans. Obviously, I want to see him back. As a spectator, I want to see him back at the club. I don't know if it's going to happen. He's going to have to find a way to amend his relationship with the club.
Okay, but that's between... Like, it kind of annoys me that every time it's, you know, where's Hans? Where's Hans? I mean, that's between him and the organizers, you know? That's...
Well, he keeps on bringing it up. And I do know that people want to see him because every time we have a tournament, like tomorrow starts the American Cup, I bet everywhere in the comments is going to be like, okay, where's Hans? Where's Hans? Where's Hans?
Well, I understand because people probably started watching chess like a year ago and they don't... Maybe they started watching because of him and they don't really know other chess players.
Yes.
But
who is Ridley?
It's
Who is Simon?
I think Ridley is from Metroid. Simon, I have no idea what game he's from.
Oh, I have a chain. Let's see what I can do with that chain.
I also know the controls of this character. Get out of here. I think I once played your character against Misha, and he was so irritated because it's one of the most annoying characters.
Is it?
Because you just throw shit at people. But you have no recovery.
What? Where's my recovery?
You have to save your jumps.
Okay, actually. Speaking of the American Cup, tomorrow starts the American Cup.
Well,
let's assume really. Tomorrow. Let's just say tomorrow.
We're just going to say tomorrow. It's not tomorrow, but after tomorrow. We upload, it might be tomorrow.
It definitely will be tomorrow. We're not uploading tonight. So yes, it's going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow starts the American Cup. Quite a strong field, as usual. Who is your main comeback? Oh, Hikaru is making a comeback. He wasn't in, or was he in the American Cup last year?
He
I know he was 2 years ago.
Yeah, he was 2 years ago, not last year. Okay, so how do I...
Whew, nice.
This is, I'm playing so badly.
Nice.
You've only killed yourself. I haven't killed you.
No.
All I can do is that.
It's a very annoying. I mean,
yeah, it's annoying that you can't recover at all.
I have absolutely no recovery.
But yeah, the American Cup, Hikaru, Levon, Lenny or Wesley, Ray, Mishra, and myself. And Sam Sevillon. So Sevillon is playing Levon, I believe. Oh, escaped.
No. No. Okay. As long as I get off the edge. Get out of here.
What? Why did I go that direction?
Fly.
Okay. You're not escaping that.
No, but this guy is basically just handicapped, yeah, by this no recovery situation.
It does seem like an issue.
Yeah, it's a huge handicap.
Hmm. They recently released the last tier list for this game. I don't know.
Top position.
Not a character that we've unlocked.
Hmm.
Actually, no, I think maybe it's Sonic. I don't know if we
have Sonic, really? We have Sonic.
Did we do?
Yeah. Maybe I'll play him. You're playing Ray.
Yeah, I'm playing Ray.
He said he feels very uncomfortable whenever he plays you. He said that you're one of the most uncomfortable opponents. He praised your Rapid and Blitz. He said you got better. He was like, before he was rusty, Rapid and Blitz. I felt I had a chance. Now, feeling a bit less secure about my...
Well, we've played 2 years ago in the same format, and we drew the two classical games and went to the Rapid tiebreak. And then I had, I was working with Grigori, and we had an idea in the Catalan at the time, in the Rapid tiebreak, which worked out really nicely in the first game. So I just got a winning position the first game, and then the second game was tough, but I held it. So it wasn't an easy match overall. But I have had good results against him overall. I mean, in general, I've been a tough opponent for him. Sonic and I think maybe Steve is number
one. Who is Hikaru playing?
Hikaru plays Mishra. He's definitely a big favorite.
Big favorite, yes.
I don't know how big a favorite, but pretty significant favorite.
I've played Sonic before, and I was never very happy with him, so I'm very curious to see why he's so high rated.
I mean, you'll not really find out because this is like based on top level tournaments, and you do this. And we're like 800s at the
time. He's extremely fast.
Yeah, very fast.
That one.
Very good recovery.
Yeah, Mishra has not played a lot actually recently.
Yeah, he played the US Masters. I'm not sure what else he's played.
That was
a long time ago. Yeah.
Last year, November.
I'm not sure if he was at World Rapid and Blitz.
I don't think he was. I'm trying to remember, and I don't remember seeing him around. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't run off. Yep. I kind of like Sonic.
I'm unable to hit you.
Yeah, okay. Baby.
This is...
No! Since I'm telling you, you've been training.
I have not
played. You've been training.
I'm so bad at this game.
You've been playing a lot. I think you could be a Smash Chess World Champion.
I'm really bad at this game. And I have not played in like a year. Or whenever it was that we played, I think during US Champs, right?
Yes. Okay, this... Come on. There's no way you recover from that. What?
I think I have, like... I know how to recover. I just have no idea about which hitboxes or...
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Oh. I'm okay. Really, you're not killing me.
That's the problem. And I'm trying to understand why.
What? How did you touch that? It was right on top of you.
No! No! Also, how are you still alive? Aren't you? Oh my goodness, you're on like 300.
Don't go there. I don't know if Sonic's for you.
Yeah, good game. Good game. I'm terrible at it, and I'm even terrible when we need to discuss chess. But yeah, American Cup starts tomorrow. Excited about that. Anything else happening in the chess world?
So okay. I don't think Hans played his match.
Yes.
Champion Showdown happened. We don't even talk about that. But I did win.
Congratulations. Beautiful. Yes.
And nice
reminder. What I like
else?
The format.
The freestyle like thing is happening. I thought the format was kind of pointless, to be honest.
You didn't like it?
No.
Okay, forget about the money. Let's assume...
No, the money's great. Like, of course, if from a personal interest point of view, it's great. Yes. If you tell me, like, I'll play 3 days and make 50 grand, and even if I do badly, I still make, like, 35 grand.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, sure, let's do it all year.
Okay,
but from a point of view of interest, I don't really see what interest it brings. So I would recommend that they change it next time.
How do you feel about this format for a serious tournament? Let's say the US Championship. I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about the... three-time formats, maybe semi-classical, this 60-minute.
That actually wouldn't be terrible. If you have a big tournament...
And you have matches every single day.
And then you have it like... you have a title at the end, and it's not just for money.
Yes.
And the pairings are not just for money. It's a round robin. Everyone plays everyone.
Yes. US Championship
then it's
with this format.
Then it's reasonable, yeah. Hmm.
So you basically fight one person in rapid, in classical, and in blitz. Semi-classical.
But obviously, they shouldn't be weighed the same.
How do you feel about the weight?
So the scoring system could be pretty weird. I think maybe you could have it that it's like it's worth 1.5 points. So like the classical game is worth 0.75, 0.5, and 0.25 for the blitz. And then each round is worth 1.5 points, which makes it kind of even. So the max you can win is 1.5 points. But sometimes you might get 1 point. Sometimes you might get a quarter of a point. I mean, you might even get 0 points.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you tally it up at the end. It's, could be a system. I don't know.
Experimental
system.
I really felt they're onto something with the rapid blitz and semi-classical.
Definitely you start with the classical, though.
You think so?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, like, you just enter there, you play a blitz game, and you're not warmed up for it. While if you play a full classical game, it's the normal procedure of events. Like, you might play a classical and then have a tiebreak. So you kind of warm up. It's like a culmination. The faster, it gets faster and faster. It's not like you have this kind of climax at the very start, and then suddenly you're playing... Now you're thinking for 40 minutes in the opening.
But you have the most valuable game at the end. The one that's weighted most.
Either way, they're all going to be...
Well, in this case, it was money. But let's say scoring.
I don't see a reason to mess with a traditional round-robin tournament, but it's not terrible. I just think that you need to be playing for something. Everyone needs to play everyone. It shouldn't be money-based, because the outside people don't care so much about the money. Sure. Like, and it was also a little bit too... Like, everyone made similar amounts. I mean, there was... Like, last place, it wasn't like you had a bad tournament, right? You still got, like, 35 grand or whatever.
I think so. Yeah.
Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, generally speaking, top-heavy prizes make more sense, because then you're incentivizing more to play for first. Rather than not caring too much about it. Like, I think people were a bit too relaxed. Also, not being rated, it causes people to care less.
Of course.
So, semi-classical, the issue is that that it's not rated.
Mm. I don't feel necessarily that it impacted the level of play. Like, everybody's super competitive. Everybody really wanted to win. I felt like, based on the fact that there was no rating on the line, and it was really skewed towards incentivizing the victories, especially in classical. I think in classical, we've seen the most decisive results.
But it could also be because people didn't care as much. Like, I mean, Hikaru, would he really play these openings? Like, the one he played against me in classical, which he lost, he just got...
He played B3, right? This B3 stuff.
He's
been playing this B3 stuff.
Yeah, and rapid and stuff. But also, he didn't want to... Like, I can tell you, from most players' point of view, they didn't care too much. They didn't want to show their prep.
Sure.
That was for the most part. I mean, obviously, people want to do well. Once they're playing, they're going to do their best. But in terms of openings and your preparation before the tournament and general level of, let's say, tension, then probably, yeah, there was less at stake.
Mm. Mm.
At least that was my feeling as well. I felt like there's not much at stake.
It's an exhibition tournament.
Yeah. That's fine, of course.
I would like to see this implemented in like an actual tournament.
I think there are ways where you could do it. But you'd have to think about the format very closely, for sure. The American Cup, I think, is a much more exciting format. It's double elimination. Elimination in general is good. Double elimination is interesting because even an accident, still, like, the if let's say the top player has just one bad day, it can be the end. But in double elimination, you still have a chance, which is nice. You know, you can't say that it's unlucky, because even if you have one bad day, you're still in it, theoretically.
And it really pays if you win everything in the championship bracket. Not only that, you get extra money, which I think is the case in this one, but you also get the extra life, which really
extra
helps.
Yeah, that's a huge advantage. I think whoever had the extra life has won every time. Like, when I had the extra life
in the
first year,
yes. Yeah.
I beat Levon. The second year, I think Hikaru beat Wesley with the extra life. Although
it was close.
He did use it up.
It was close.
So he did lose the first match, won the second. But he had that extra chance. And then last year, Levon beat Wesley. So Wesley has been in the finals twice. Levon has been in the finals twice. Levon has won once. Hikaru once, and I've won once. But already 3 years ago.
Mm.
So yes. Yeah. The fourth edition.
That's exciting.
I think it'll be a good tournament. One of the more interesting ones, for sure, in the early calendar. Also, the freestyle event is culminating tomorrow. The qualifier for Paris, it's one spot. It's now Vidit.
Against Abatabey?
Yeah, Vidit versus Amin. And...
Rapport versus...
Ralph Mamedov. And only the finalist. Last time, the two finalists made it because Vichy dropped out.
Who's your guy? Who do you think is going to make it join in Paris?
It's kind of tough. I'm kind of going to go... I'll go with Richie.
Okay. Richie's a solid pick.
Super lucky today against Mamedyarov. He was dead lost.
Out of the opening. Out of the first five moves, I think he was lost already.
Yeah, but like in the end game, it was just a disaster. And then he somehow won a game, just a clean exchange down. And then the second game was Yeah, no contest. He cleaned up the second game.
I'll take Tabata Bay. He played really well. Started 7 out of 7, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. 7 out of 7, and drawn a loss.
And then draw, loss, 7.5 qualified him.
He beat Levon, he beat
And then he Lanier. Did well in the playoffs, yeah. Lanier was doing well up to that point. But again, I'm going to pick Tabata Bay. I think he had a good first day.
I think he definitely has a chance. I mean, all the guys for sure have some chance. I wasn't sure. I was thinking maybe Vidic or Rapport, but
yeah.
Rapport, I mean, Rapport, when he's on form, he's extremely, extremely strong. And I think this time control is probably good for him. And I just feel like he, at his best, he's stronger than Vidit and definitely than the other guys as well. That's my general feeling, but of course it's a close knockout event. Anything can happen in two games.
But it seems like you're still basing their strength on what they usually do or what their perceived strength is in classical. This is just 960 freestyle.
I don't think it makes such a difference.
You don't consider it a completely different game?
Not really, no.
That's interesting.
I think like the difference between online and offline is more than the difference between the normal setup of pieces and Fischer random setup.
Wow.
But anyway, I think it's going to be very close. And even though I pick him, I still wouldn't give him, like, I'd still maybe give him 35% chance at most of making it. Because he has to play two matches. And to be honest, each match is pretty much like 50-50. So 35% is generous. It's just, I don't know. You know, last time the match between Fedosev and Sindarov.
The final match was very close. It came down to an Armageddon, but not only an Armageddon where they were just flagging each other at some point, and the position didn't even matter anymore. So you could, like, the Armageddons don't have increment at any point in the game, which means that you get to that point, it's just pure mass, just toss it. And anyway, I'll follow the tournament. I mean, I followed it today, so I'll follow the last match as well.
We'll follow it together. That's it for today. That was an interesting experiment. I have to say, it's extremely difficult to talk.
We're also
anything
we're
outside
also
of playing
about this game,
and we're also pretty bad at it. But hopefully, you guys enjoyed it. You guys can give us some tips on how to play better this game. If you
maybe we should get
experience.
We should get Hungry Box.
What is Hungry Box?
I told you he's a Smash player.
Oh, your
Smash
boy, your Team Liquid guy.
Yeah. He also plays for Team Liquid. I think he's like been in Team Liquid for a long time.
Well, there we have it.
Yeah.
Well, your official invitation to the C-Square podcast, Hungry Box. All right, we'll see if we get that lab on. Anyway, don't forget, like, subscribe, and follow the American Cup coming up shortly. I will be doing commentary with Yasser and
Kachka.
Katerina Nemtsova. We've done that for Champion Showdown. Should be fun. Tune in, St. Lucia's Club YouTube and Twitch and pretty much everywhere else. And maybe we'll do some recaps. We'll see. But anyway, thanks again. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you next time. Cheers.